right, enough of that, enough of that, enough of that. Y'all had too much Red Bull today or something, I tell you. Too much Red Bull or something is the problem, I tell you. These kids are hyped up, man. Hyped up. Sugar, I don't know what the problem is, but there is a problem. I do know that much, all right? Matthew chapter 4 for the preaching tonight. Man, I tell you, you pray for it, you need God to show up. But I don't know if it's just a natural thing or whatnot. But there is somewhat of a lull, and Kenny Baldwin's not here, you know, kind of. But I tell you, Bubba kicked it into high gear. Amen. And I think woke some people up. And yeah, Pastor Kenny may not be here, but God's still here.
That's right.
God's word is still here.
Yep.
And, you know, we can still change because of that. Listen, if your Christian life is bound up in Kenny Baldwin, you're not going to make it too far.
Right.
If you're connected to the lifeline, you'll be all right.
Amen.
You'll be all right. Matthew chapter 4, if you stand to your feet with me for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 4 tonight, once again for the preaching of God's word. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, If all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. Get out of here, Satan, in essence what he's saying. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this conference and for this week that we've had, Lord God. It's all to your glory, to your honor, Lord, for what has gone on this week. Lord, we thank you for all the people that are saved, that have been saved this week, Lord. Hopefully the decisions that have been made to live for you by these young people, Lord, and by our church and by the folks from other churches, Lord, we're so privileged to have this meeting and have this conference here every year. Lord, we thank you for every message that's been preached so far, God. I thank you for speaking through each one of them, Lord, and Brother Jeff and Brother Tut, Brother Kenny, Bubba, Lord, just a fabulous job tonight, God. I pray that you would speak through me, God. I can't do it. I can't muster it up in and of myself, Lord. I can't just, you know, try to grit my teeth and get through it, Lord, or just be loud or whatever. God, I need you to show up. I need you to speak. God, I need you to take control of me and this service right now. And God, come down and show people what you want in their lives. I pray that you would forgive me of my sins. I pray you would fill me your spirit, Lord. Control everything that I think and say and do. And God, I pray that you would focus me on the scripture, Lord. God, get my mind focused for the job at hand and for exactly what these young people need tonight, Lord. We thank you for them being here. We thank you for the whole week that you've given to us. But God, one more time, would you speak to our hearts? Would you give us something, Lord? Would you change us, Lord, and make us more into what you want us to be? God, none of us have arrived. None of us have accomplished everything that you want. We all have room to grow, all have room to improve. We pray that you would show those areas to us tonight. God, please help the people to see past me, hear the message from you. God, please keep the disturbances away, keep the devil away. And God, give us a great time in the next little bit as we open your word and try to learn from it. God, please, I need your help. We need your help right now. Please come through for us, God, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. As we enter the scene here in this passage in Matthew chapter 4, we find our Savior, Jesus Christ, under attack from Satan. I said under attack from Satan. The pressure is high. The stakes are monumental. If Jesus would have given in to any one of these temptations, we would be in a whole world of trouble. And Satan, as always, when he comes after an individual, he comes with one temptation after another. Listen, I don't think the devil ever comes with a single blow. He never comes with just a single shot. He's always going to come multiple times. He's always going to repeat his attacks. He's always going to come after you one time, after another time, after another time, after another time. And he kept coming at Christ with all that he had. The devil is relentless. He never gives up. Yet it's so astounding to me throughout this passage that Jesus could have defeated Satan in any number of ways. Listen. He's God. By the way, never ever think that God and the devil are equals and they're battling it out for world control. God and the devil aren't even close to equals. Jesus is the creator. The devil used to be an angel. He is created. You say, by who? By God. That's by who. Listen, this isn't an equal battle. This isn't rivals. This isn't, you know, we're not sure who's going to win here. We always know that God's going to win. We always know he's going to come through. And Jesus could have defeated him any way he wanted to. Think about it. Jesus has infinite power. He's omnipotent. He has infinite knowledge. He has infinite wisdom. He has infinite sovereignty. He's in control of everything. He could have stopped this proceedings right then and there if he wanted to. Yet he didn't use all that. Think about it. Think about the Bible now. He didn't use all that. He didn't use his power. He didn't use his unlimited knowledge or wisdom. He didn't use his sovereignty. He didn't use all these things. He used the Word of God.
Amen.
You say, why? Because it's the lifeline. That's why. We look around at the scene nowadays in 2013. We find our world getting worse and worse. Young people, we wish it wasn't like this, but this is fact. This is reality. When you come in the house of God, we're not gonna change it. We're not gonna make it look better. Listen, the world is a bad place. It's getting worse and worse.
That's right.
Everywhere you look, every time you turn on the news, there's shootings, there's bombings, there's terrorist attacks, sex and drugs and depression and pregnancies and abortions and suicide are all at all-time highs.
Yeah, right.
And it's discouraging. You look at it and you think, man, how can a young person, good home or bad home, how can they make it nowadays? Is there any hope? All the shootings, the bombings, the terrorist attacks, and all these other things. It's so bad. It's so sad. It's so depressing. And I believe behind all of it is the devil.
That's right.
He's behind all of it.
Yes, sir.
He's behind the rap. Hello? He's behind the rap. By the way, if you have it on your iPod, you have the devil in your iPod. Hello? You're letting him talk to you. You're letting him control your mind and your life and your decisions and your actions and your reactions. You're letting him in. You're just opening the door saying, go ahead, do whatever you want. And no wonder we can't get somebody to live for God because you're pumping that mess in your ears. Tight, we get them for an hour a week. That music gets them 20, 30 hours a week. And we wonder why they can't live for God. We wonder why they can't step through preaching for an hour. Or 40 minutes or 30 minutes sometimes. By the way, kids, you shouldn't have to go to the bathroom 6 times throughout the preaching. Hello? I see a problem with that. A spiritual problem or a bladder problem, but you got a problem. Some kind of problem. By the way, when it's invitation time, you shouldn't be heading for those doors. You should be heading for this altar. Hello? Some kids can't wait to get out of church. That's a problem. That's a problem. The devil's behind all of it. You can sit through that music. You can sit through that show. You can sit through the basketball game or baseball game or football game, but you can't sit through preaching. There's a problem. He's behind all of it. He's behind the rap. He's behind the rock. He's behind the country. Some of you white folk listen to that. That's all right. Listen, he's behind many of the Christian contemporary. Oh, my, Tom, did you just go there? Oh, yeah, I went there. Some of that stuff is trash, garbage. By the way, there should be a clear difference by the way you sing to your Lord and Savior and you sing to your girlfriend. Hello? Some of that music, Pastor, you can't tell the difference. I love you. I love you. I want to see you. Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about? I can't tell. Is that a love song or is that a Christian song? What's the deal? I can't tell. Some of you can't tell. Oh, they're talking about God. You remember at your graduation. They just take 2 words out of the whole song and it's a whole different meaning. That's a problem. Listen, if you're listening to Christian music, that ought to be clearly displayed. Hello? Yeah. Clearly displayed. Listen, there's a difference when you're talking to God and talking to some girl. There's a difference. You know why? Because one of them is holy. Because one of them's righteous. Because one of them's pure. Because one of them's sovereign. Because one of them's all powerful. Because one of them knows everything. Because one of them's everywhere at the same time. I'll let you guess which one that is. All right. That's God.
Amen.
There ought to be a difference. Bible says a lot of times, it said back in Ezekiel, and I say a lot of times it happens nowadays, there's no difference between holy and unholy. Some of these songs, yeah, I'm not done with it yet. Some of these songs, you don't know if they're speaking to God or speaking to some prostitute. That's true. And that's a problem. He's behind all of it. He's behind the rap and the rock and the country and some of the Christian contemporary. Listen. He's behind this sex-crazed society and culture that we have nowadays. Listen, young person, you need to stay pure till you get married. I don't care what people in your school do. I don't care what your friends talking about. I don't care what they post on Facebook or text to you or tweet to you or whatever else or what's on Instagram. I tell you, you need to stay pure till you hit that marriage altar.
Amen.
Absolutely. He's behind this homosexual agenda that's shoved down our throats nowadays. Listen, hold up. Listen, Jesus loves homosexuals.
That's right.
And he wants to save every one of them.
Yep.
However, that is the biggest issue that is forced and pushed nowadays against us. Absolutely it is.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something in case you didn't know. It's wrong. It's a sin.
Yes.
They choose to do that. Just like Bubba and the different ones mentioned, you choose to sin, they choose to live like that. Absolutely. No question about it. He's behind all of that. And I would say most of all, he's behind the attacks of our young people nowadays, Brother Tut. The devil's behind it. Listen, young person, he's attacking you. He doesn't want you to get connected to the Lifeline this week. He don't want you to read your Bible. He's fine with you going through the emotions. He's fine with you clapping it up. He's fine with you coming to service or coming to activities and having a good time and getting some pizza yesterday and shooting some people in laser tag. He's good with all that, but he's mad when you read your Bible next week. He's mad when you show up to church instead of going to Six Flags or instead of going to the beach and being half naked running around. Listen, he's mad when you do stuff like that. He don't like that. And he's coming after you, trying to attack you. Listen. He's going to attack you. Mark it down. And he's relentless. He's not going to come after you once and say, oh, they resisted it, so I'm gone. He's going to come after you again and again and again and again and again. And pretty soon he's going to weaken you and weaken your defenses. And pretty soon he's going to have that knockout blow, Brother Tut. And if you aren't ready for it, if you're not connected, boom, you're done. You're done. You're done. And then we'll have to come by to your house, Brother Jeff, and knock on your door and say, man, why aren't you coming to church? What's going on? How are you hanging out with those friends and that girl and listening to that music? Come on, you know better than this. I don't know, man. It's just hard. We told you it was going to be hard. Yea, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to have to stand for God. But you can do it. You can do it. Let me tell you something. He's relentless. He won't stop. The pressure is high. And let me say this, the stakes are high. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying the ante has been upped. I'm saying, listen, there's a lot weighing on this. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying if you ruin your purity, that's a lot to lose.
Yeah.
Hello?
That's a lot, right?
You know why some people give it away? Because you don't think you're valuable.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello? You give it to anybody because you're looking for love. Let me tell you something. God created you specially. He cares about you. Hello? He cares about you. He has a perfect will for your life. You're valuable to him. If you were the only person on the face of the earth, he still would have shed his blood for you on that cross and died. Why? Because you're valuable to him. Don't give it away to some cheap person that doesn't even care about you. Your purity. Those are some high stakes. Your potential, that's some high stakes. Listen, every one of you bus kids, you can do something great for the Lord.
Amen.
You can be the next Brother Tut or next Miss Tamara, next Brother Mike or Gay Shia. Man, it blesses my heart to see this couple that came a few years ago, about 3 years ago, I think, Pastor. And now they're leaders in the church and they're doing stuff, man. That just gives me something inside. That's what we need more of. You can do the same thing. You can be the next one.
Listen, church kid, you don't have to be fake like all the other ones. You don't have to put on a show and just hang around the in crowd. You don't have to worry about all that. You can do something for God.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Look at Matt Selmer. Look at Ryan. Look at some of these guys that are trying to live right. That grew up in church. JT and some of these guys that are trying to do the right thing. You can be the next one. You don't have to fall out like some of them have. The stakes are high. I'm saying you ruin your purity. That's a lot to lose. You ruin your potential. That's a lot to lose. And I'm saying you ruin God's perfect will for your life. That's a lot to lose. You say, well, God can restore me and God can remake me and God can help me. That's true. And we thank God that he's the God of the second chance. However, God's perfect will for you is better than his secondary will for you. Hello? Absolutely. But thank God in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus left us a pattern. You know, I'm glad he didn't use that unlimited power, unlimited wisdom, or unlimited knowledge or sovereignty. Because we couldn't repeat that. Right? We couldn't match that. But think about this. This is astounding. He instead used an arsenal that's available to everyone in this room. Everybody. Listen, the Scofield says it like this. Christ defeated Satan by a means open to the humblest follower of Christ. The intelligent use of the Word of God. You know what that means? You know what that means? Jesus defeated the devil, one of the most powerful beings in this universe, with a means or a way or an avenue that's available to the humblest follower of Christ. You know what that means? One of these little kids. The humblest follower. You might not have a lot. You realize you have the same ability to beat the devil that Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4?
That's true.
Did you just hear what I said? These kids have the same ability and power, and they can use the same thing to defeat the devil that Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4? Come on now. Hello. And it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you may look like. It doesn't matter how much money you may have in the bank or money that you don't have in the bank, you know? If you're a Christian in here and you have the Word of God sitting on your lap, you have the same power, the same means that defeated the devil in Matthew chapter 4. You can defeat him in 2013.
Right.
Amen. Absolutely. Kids, teens, adults, doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter who you are. You know what he used? The same thing that everybody has pretty much in this room tonight, the Word of God.
Amen.
Why did he do that? To demonstrate how to make it.
Yes,
he's teaching us tonight the lifeline. The lifeline. Jesus saying, listen, I could have defeated Satan however I want to, but I wanted to leave a pattern out for my followers. Because I knew in 2012, 2013, on down the line that things were going to get pretty bad. And that all the music was going to be wicked and that the society was going to be going downhill and our politicians would be impotent and doing nothing about it. That's right. Absolutely. He's saying, I foresaw that. And I realized that some of you are going to be in a battle. And as Bubba just mentioned, Bubba, you back there. I keep pointing over here. He's back there. Listen, as Bubba just mentioned, you can't always have the pastor to hold your hand through the struggle. You can't always have the youth pastor right there for you. You can't always have the big name preacher to come through for you. But you have Jesus there. You have the Word of God there. That tells me you can make it. You don't need all those other things. You need this. You need him. That's what you need. He did it to try to show us the lifeline. Listen, we don't know how to say it any better. It's your lifeline. You know what that means? You got to have this. You got to have this. Listen, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, if you don't have all the Christian vernacular down, make sure you're connected to the lifeline. Hello? Listen, you might not have the nicest clothes, but that doesn't really matter a whole lot. Make sure you're connected to the lifeline. That's really what matters. Listen, you might not have the fanciest Bible, and maybe you don't even know how to carry your Bible properly. You might not have the nicest slick shoes that you can walk in church and everybody say, hey, brother, hey, sister, you looking fresh tonight. I like that. Listen, it's not about all that. You might not have that stuff, but I tell you something you better have in your life, the lifeline.
Amen.
That's what you need. That's what you need. I better hurry up or we're going to be here all night, all right? Number one in this message tonight, the lifeline. The lifeline. I want you to see, first of all, that this lifeline, it contains your survival.
Amen.
You hear me? Number one, it contains your survival. Check out verse number 4. Bible says, But he answered Jesus and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, listen, get a hold of this. When he's saying man shall not live by bread alone, he's saying, listen, obviously everyone in here needs food to survive. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
If you don't know anything is true from the Bible, you better know that's true, all right? You say, why? Because I'm hungry right now, all right? Miss Bliss, you're saying somewhere today, Tom, you're not eating right now? No, I'm hungry right now, okay? I need food to survive, and all of us do. But you know what he's saying in verse number 4? Listen. He's saying just as food is as vital and critical and essential for physical life. Listen, you don't eat for a while, you're going to die. Hello? You're going to die. Just as essential as food is for physical life, the Bible is vital, essential, crucial for your spiritual life and health. That's exactly what it's saying. Listen, you know what he's saying? You're not going to make it unless you're connected to this book. Very simply. You're not going to make it. It contains your survival. Listen, you better live in the Word of God. You better live off the Word of God. You better live on the Word of God. You better live out the Word of God.
Amen.
You're not going to make it unless you do that.
You
say, Tom, I don't even understand some of the stuff I read. Listen, I get all that, but you still need to read it.
Amen.
There's parts we don't understand. There's parts tight when we read it, we're like, God, what are you trying to say there? But you still need to be in it. Because just as maybe all food doesn't taste the same, some of it's real good, some of it's not so good, whatever the case may be, you still got to eat. You still got to get some. And there's going to be some days where you're understanding what you're reading. There's going to be some other days where you're not quite getting it. But listen, every day you got to be in it. You got to be in it. You got to be in it. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to die or you're going to be in serious problems in your life. Look at the scope of this. Look at the scope of this. In verse number 4, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. When he says man, he's talking about all people right there. All people right there. And that one word, when he says man, he's saying, listen, all people, all of us. He's talking to you tonight. He's saying, listen, young person, you won't make it without the word of God.
Amen.
Not only the scope, but the sure promise. He says, man shall not. When you see shall in the Bible, that's a very strong word, a very definite word. Listen, that's a promise right there. He's saying, listen, just as it's a guarantee that if you don't eat, you're going to die. If you don't read your Bible, you're not going to make it. It's a promise. It's a sure thing. It's a sure promise. Listen, it's your source. Listen, man shall not live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how you're going to live. That's how you're going to live. That's how you're going to live. Listen, it's your source. It's your source. You say, my source for what? It's my source of existence. That's how I got saved in the first place. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
That's how you got saved. That's how you got saved. Listen, the word of God, you heard from the word of God how Jesus died for your sins and how he suffered in your place and he provides a way for you to get to heaven. You turned from your sins, you trusted in him. How did that happen? That happened through the word of God. That's how it happens. You know what else, though? Not only when you got saved back then, but let's turn over to Psalm 119. We're coming back to Matthew chapter 4 in a moment. But Jeffrey, you mentioned Sunday night about this word. The word of God is quick. And he said it means alive. Remember that from Sunday night? Hopefully you do if you're awake, all right? Check this out. Now, Jeffrey, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when it says the word of God is quick, it's describing the word of God in Hebrews 4. That's an adjective, right? It's describing something about the word of God, that it's alive. The word of God is alive. All right, well, that's great. We know this book is alive. But let me tell you something. That life doesn't just stay on the pages. Because if you read it, it does something. That life transfers. It transfers. You'll see in a moment. That's not my opinion. That's the word of God. Check this out. Psalm 119. Check out verse number 25. By the way, Psalm 119, 176 verses. We will not read them all. Praise the Lord. All right? But 176 verses. Pastor, I was checking in on Sunday, only about 5 or 6 verses do not mention the Word of God. That's it. About 170 verses, all of them mention the Bible in some form or fashion. You know what that's telling us? How important it is. All that it does for us. Check this out. Verse number 25. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me. How? According to thy word.
Amen.
You know what quicken means? Listen, quicken means to make alive. Hello? It means to stir up. It means to breathe life into. It means to make more active. How about that one? Make more active. It means to revive you, to restore you. It means to encourage you, to lift you up.
Amen.
You say, Brother Tom, there's some times when I'm trying to live for God, but I just don't feel like it. I get down. I get beat down. The devil's on my back. Yeah, I understand. You know what you need to do? You know what you need to do? You need to get connected to the lifeline. You need to get a... I got this all twisted up. Thanks a lot, Bubba. All right, anyway, you need to get connected to the lifeline. You need to get hooked up. You need to get built up. You need to get some life breathed into you. How? By coming to church, maybe in one form, but you can do it all by yourself at home by taking the medicine, the Word of God.
Yes.
Quicken me, quicken me. Listen, that's, as we talked about Hebrews 4, that's an adjective. That's describing the Word of God. But what it's saying, quicken, that's breathing life into. That life has transferred, not just from the pages of the Word of God, into my life. Quicken me!
Amen.
Make me alive! Some of you, let me just lovingly tell you real quick, some of you are some dead Christians. I love you, but I'm telling you the truth. You haven't served God in years. You haven't, you know, taken one step, major step in your life, in growth, in helping others, in making a difference in others, in a long time. That's a problem. That's a problem. You know what you need to do is get down on this altar tonight, or when you go home tonight or tomorrow, say, God, quicken me according to your word. God, breathe some life into my life. God, you've given me this opportunity. I'm alive for such a time as this. God, you've given me all these abilities. I know these people. I work this job. I have this house. I have this family. But God, you didn't just give me all this for no purpose. God, you left me here for a reason. God, breathe some life into me. Some of us need that tonight. All right, Psalm 119, verse 25, we checked that out. How about verse number 37? Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, as Brother Tut talked about. Separate yourself is what it's talking about. And quicken thou me in thy way. Quicken me. Give me life. Let's keep going. Number 37, verse number 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse number 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Over and over and over and over again, the psalmist is saying, listen, give me life.
Amen.
Breathe it into me, God. Stir me up. God, get me going. God, make me more active. God, revive me, restore me, encourage me, lift me up. Verse number 88. We're going to go through all of these in Psalm 118. Verse number 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. That's verse number 88. Verse number 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Listen, you going through trouble? You going through trouble? Psalm 119, 107. Quicken me. God, I'm in affliction, but God, I need some life breathed into me. God, I need some help right now. Psalm 1, verse number 154. Consider mine affliction. Deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. I got that one messed up. I don't know where that one is. We'll find it some other time. Verse number 156. 156. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. And so, last one, 159, same chapter. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. You can flip back to Matthew chapter 4. You see what's going on here? It's your source of life. It's your source of existence. You say, man, I feel like I'm weak. I'm shriveled up. I can't do what I used to do. I don't know how these men of God get up here, Pastor Kenny, and he has this passion, and he has this fire, and he has this drive, and he has this power about him, and God's using him. Let me tell you something. He has nothing. Listen, Brother Kenny doesn't have any special corner or monopoly on God that we don't have. He's got the same stuff we got. But you know what? He probably uses it more than most of us. That's fact. I asked him years ago, a few years after I first met him, I said, how do you always stay so encouraged? Every time I see you, you're on fire. You know, most of us, we're on fire for about 2 weeks a year, and then the rest of the year, we just kind of cruise. Cruise control, right? That's how it is for most of us. I say, how are you always all out? How are you always giving your all? How are you always doing that? He said, Tom, you never take a break. He said, you can never take a break. You can never slack off. You can never let it coast. You can never just put it in cruise control. He's saying, always grow, always push it, always get more, always learn more, always do more. That's how he does it. And that's how we can do it. It contains your survival. Listen, we're talking about it gives you existence. It gives you energy. I need to hurry up, but listen to these things. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It gives you energy to live for God. That's how the whole Christian life is lived, by faith. It gives you education. God teaches you what you should do and should not do from this book. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How about this one? It gives you enthusiasm.
Yes, sir.
It gives you enthusiasm. Listen, these guys on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, man, they thought Jesus was dead. They thought all this stuff was over. They're walking down the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, about 7-8 miles, and they're discouraged. And a man comes up beside them. They don't know who the man is. The man turns out to be Jesus. And as they walk along the road, they're talking to this man that they don't know who it is. And he starts to share with them the Word of God. And after he disappears and after the whole story is over, they look one to another and they say, did not our heart burn within us when we talked with him by the way and when he opened to us the Scriptures? Some of you can get excited and get built up. How? By getting in the Word of God. Some of you about to throw in the towel. You say, I had enough of that bus route. I had enough of them kids. I had enough of that Sunday school class. I've had enough of enough. I'm done. That's what Jeremiah said.
That's right.
Jeremiah chapter 20. Yep. He said, Jesus, I'm done. No more preaching. I'm sick of these people not listening. I'm sick of these people not living right. I'm sick of this nation that's going against God. He said, I'm done. He said, I will not speak his name anymore. I'm not even going to talk about Jesus anymore. I quit. You go a few spaces over in that verse after that next comma, and he says, but.
Amen.
That means there's a transition. Yep. That means things were going downhill, but we took a U-turn real quick. He said, man, I'm done. I'm quitting. No more bus route. No more preaching. No more of these kids. Then he pulls a 180 on it, says, but his word.
Amen.
Was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I couldn't stop preaching. I couldn't stop living for God. I couldn't stop giving up them tracts. I couldn't stop reading my Bible. I couldn't stop living for Jesus. Why? Because his word gave me some life inside of me. That's what you need, folks. Listen, you don't need me to pound it and lose my voice preaching to you right now. You just need to take some of this stuff and start living it.
Amen.
And you saying amen will not get us out any sooner. Don't worry, all right? You're like, that's right. You don't need it. You can close it up right now. I'll do this. All right. That's great. I'm still going to preach. It gives you edification. You know how you grow? By the word of God.
Amen.
That's how you grow. That's exactly how you grow. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You know what, kids? If you've been saved on these bus routes and you haven't really grown in your Christian life, you know what you need to do? Get in the word of God.
Amen.
It'll start to make a difference. You'll start to grow. You know what I noticed in Jeffrey and some of these other young guys that he was talking about? I noticed with Jeffrey, man, after he just got saved, we would get in the van, Miss Christina's van, for soul winning on Saturday visitation, and he would say, man, I was reading in the book of Acts yesterday and about Paul and how he got saved and how that light came down, and I said, man, this is good stuff, Pastor. He's starting to grow. He's starting to get it. He's starting to develop. Listen, that's what we need from you.
Amen.
Listen, some of you, the only Bible you get is on Sunday from your Sunday school teacher. That's not enough. You'll never make it. I love you, but you will never make it if that's the only Bible you get. You can get it yourself any day, anytime, 24/7, 365. You can get it. You can get it. It's available to you. It gives you that life, that growth. And let me tell you this, things will start to emerge in your life if you've been in the Bible. You'll have a clean life. You'll have a clean life. Bible says that they're cleansed by the washing of water by the word. Listen, you're in your Bible all the time. That's going to show up in a clean life.
Right.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Come on, preach it.
Listen, you messed your life up. You say, man, where can I turn? What doctor can I go to? What shrink can I call? What pills can I take? No, you don't need all that stuff. You don't need a doctor, except the great physician, that is. You don't need a shrink. You don't need some pills. You know what you need? How can I get my life cleaned up is what Psalm 119:9 is saying. How in the world? By taking heed thereto. According to that word. You know what that means? Pay attention to it. Listen, when Brother Tut preaches, pay attention. Yeah. When the person on your bus route preaches every Sunday, pay attention. When Pastor preaches on Sunday, pay attention. If you're in my class, pay attention. Amen. Whatever form you may get it in, pay attention to it. Take heed to it. That's how you get your life cleansed up. Sanctified, as Matt quoted last night in the skit. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You know what that means? More and more, you'll be set apart and be like Christ if you're in the Word of God. And he'll transform you. Listen,
by the renewing of your mind. The verse after Bubba preached tonight, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is that talking about? We're talking about the Word of God. Talking about you have all these filthy thoughts in your mind from the world and from the society that you live in. You need to get those things out and get transformed by the renewing of your mind. Put some of these good thoughts in there. Put some of these profitable things. Whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. You say, I wonder what's true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. I wonder where I can find that. Right there in the Word of God. Amen. That's where you can find all of it. It contains your strength to do right, to avoid wrong. It contains your sustainment. Listen, you want to keep living for God over the long haul? Get in the Bible.
Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right.
You want to be stable in your life? You want to be established and grounded and settled, and when trouble comes, you don't want to be blown over? Listen, please. You don't want to be blown over? How do you do that? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. Oh, man, it sounds like that guy enjoys it. Sounds like when that guy's in church, he actually likes it. It sounds like he enjoys the preaching time, even when it goes into overtime. Listen, it sounds like every morning when he gets up, he's looking forward to the Bible. He's not worried about SportsCenter. He's not worried about the cell phone. He's not worried about CNN or Fox News. He's worried about what does God say to me today. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He, that same guy that said no to the world and that said yes to the Bible, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth is going to prosper. I want that in my life. How do I get that? Get in the Word. It contains your survival. Number two. Yeah, that was all the first point. I'm going to fly. Don't worry. I believe I can fly. All right, let's go. Maybe not fly too fast, but I'm going to try. All right. Number two, it's your connection to the Savior. Not only does it contain your survival, you're not going to make it without the Word of God, but it's your connection to the Savior. Check this out. Excuse me, guys. Check this out, this verse. We have God right here at the last word. We have man, the first word in this quote. How do those two things get connected? The word right in the middle. The word. You see that? How does man get connected to God? Well, the church can help you out, but if the church is not connected to the word, you're not connected to the Savior. That's right. There's a lot of churches not connected to the word. They're connected to the music and to the drums and to the dancing and to the praise and to the emotion and to all the excitement, but they're not connected to the word. You want to get connected to God? You want to get connected to God in your life? You might need to help me out preaching a little bit because my throat's killing me. How do you do it? You get in the Word. Every word. Every word. You say, well, you just cut and pasted that. Yeah, you're right. But you know how you get connected to God? Through the Word of God and through prayer. That's how you get connected. It's your connection to the Savior. Listen, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, every word, completely. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It'll do some good for you. It's profitable for doctrine. That'll teach you what's right. For reproof, that'll get on you when you're doing wrong. Sometimes it's not easy to read the word of God when you're in sin. Because you know what? I don't care what you're reading about sometimes, Pastor. It'll touch on whatever it is in your life. You get to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and all this stuff. And you start thinking, man, I'm a bad sheep right now. And I'm sorry, Lord. And I've been getting off the path. All we like sheep have gone astray, and I know I've really gone astray. And it doesn't matter what they're preaching about, what they're reading. The Holy Spirit seems to turn that thing into your problem and saying, you know what? I'm not going to tell you anything else until you get that right. It gives you doctrine. That's what is right. It gets you reproof. That tells you when you got off. It gives you correction. That's how to get it right. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't just get on you and tear you down? It says, you know what? You've done wrong and you need to get right, but here's how to get right. Correction and instruction in righteousness. That's how to keep it right, and that's how to help other people get right. What an amazing book we have. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible gives us everything we need to live for God. Everything. It's sufficient. As he mentioned a couple nights ago, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It comes from God. Check out verse 4 again. It proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what that means? God breathed. That's the word inspired in the Bible. When it says all scripture is given by inspiration, you know what that means? God breathed. Listen, it comes from God. It proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how you're going to make it, young person. That's how you're going to make it, adult. And it's, listen, if you're not close to the word, you're not close to God. Simple as that. It's comprehensive in its directions. Every area of life, God will give you orders. Psalm 119, 133, order my steps in thy word. God, I'm reporting for duty. Give me your orders, sir. Get your orders every day and go live them out. Some people getting the orders from rap music, from Beyonce, from whoever else. Listen, thank you, Lord, for reminding me about that. How about this? Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift. Some of you church kids listen to that. That's garbage. Garbage. Hello? You don't need to be listening to that nastiness. Right. Amen. If you think she's pretty, stop. Some of you. Yeah, you guys know who I'm talking about. It's all right. It's all right. Listen, hello? Hello? You can't listen to that garbage and expect to live for God. Right. Stop playing games. Stop lying to yourself. Right. Can't believe you believe yourself. Amen? That's garbage. Listen, it's comprehensive in its directions. It touches on every area of life. Number three, that's how you combat Satan. It's how you fight against Satan is through the word of God. Amen. Verse number 4, verse number 7, verse number 10, the first words pretty much every time out of Jesus' mouth, three words, it is written. It is written. Every time the temptation flew at him, you know what he shot back at him? Devil, it is written. Amen. The word of God says, it's your defense. It keeps your perspective right. Listen, when the devil comes at you and say, oh, you're dirty. You can't do anything for God with all the failures that you've had. You need to fire back at him and say, wrong, devil. I've been forgiven. I've been cleansed. I've been justified. Listen, such were some of you as was preached out last night. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Devil, I've been justified. Just as if I never sinned. If we confess our sins, he is faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Devil, I've been forgiven. You're wrong. When he comes at you and say, you're nothing. You can never live for God. You say, you know what, devil? Actually, you're right. That's true. Because without Jesus, I can do nothing. But with him, I can do all things. Amen. Amen. When the devil comes at you and throws sin and temptations in your face and say, you have to give in. You have to do what everybody's doing. You say, wrong. There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape so that you can bear it and get through it. Amen. You don't have to give in to it, whatever it may be. When the devil says you're not able to, you can't keep serving God. You can't keep doing all this stuff for the Lord. You can't keep serving him with all your might, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can say, yeah, devil, you're right. You're actually right about that. You are speaking the truth right there. But he is able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. He can do it through me. Yeah. By the way, here's one that helps me from time to time. When the devil points at some other Christian and says, you know what, you're not as good as them. You can't sing like them. You can't preach like them. You can't run the bus route like them. If they had your bus route, they would have double what you have. If they had your class, they would have double what you have. The Bible says, man, I got beat down on that a few years ago, and the devil started stomping on me and saying, man, you're not as good as this guy and that guy and this preacher and that preacher. And I said, you know what, devil, you're right. But you know what? I turned over in 2 Corinthians, and it says, you shouldn't compare yourselves among yourselves. That's not wise. And I said, thank you, Jesus. You know what? They can do what they want to do. And God's given them talent and ability. And they can use that to the best of their ability. But you know what? God's given me talent. God's given me my ability. He's given me my life. He's given me my opportunity. He's given me my chance. And I'm going to take all that I have. If I can preach, I'm going to preach. If I can sing, I'm going to sing. If I can serve God, I'm going to serve God. If I can learn, I'm going to learn. If I can teach others, I'm going to do it. If I can pass out tracts, I'm going to do it. Amen. Why? Because that's what I can do. Amen. And the Bible says you shouldn't compare yourselves with others. Right. Let them serve God to the best of their ability, and you worry about you serving God to the best of your ability. Right. Be diligent about it. Verse number 6 and 7, or 7 and 8, it says, it is written again. And then the first word of number 8, verse number 8, it says again. Let me tell you something. The devil's going to keep coming after you. Be diligent to fight against him. You know why you need to be in the word of God all the time and every day? Is because the devil is after you all the time, every day. Check this out. You need to know details of the scripture. Listen, if you've been, I'm almost done. In the next 10 minutes, I promise I will be done. You say, that's not encouraging. Well, sorry. That's the best I can do. All right? Listen, you need to know details of the Bible. Listen, if you've been in this church for any length of time, you should start to learn some stuff. You should start to learn why you believe certain things, as Pastor has gone over. Listen, you should start to understand why we do certain things and why we live a certain way. Let me tell you, you say, why? Why? Pastor knows it. You know it. Some of the leaders in the church know it. That's good enough. I can call you guys when I need help. Let me tell you something. Check out verse number. You remember what I said? Every time the devil threw a temptation at Jesus, what did he say? It is written. Check this out. The devil says, two can play at that game. Verse number six. And saith unto him, the devil's talking. This is written in black, not red. That means Jesus is not talking, the devil's talking. Verse number six, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For, it is written. Devil says, oh, I can recite some verses. I can play that religious game, Brother Tut. Listen, I've heard a statement by Brother Kenny, the devil knows more Bible verses than most of us do. Huh. He twists them, as he said last night. He perverts the meaning of it, but he's going to come after you and say, oh, God gave you that talent. God gave you those looks. God gave you that stuff. So it's okay if you do your own thing. No, it's not. No, it's not. I had guys come to me before. God just gave me the ability to play rock music or rap music. And man, I mean, why would God give me that ability, Bobby, if he didn't want me to use it? Listen, he may have given you ability, but he didn't give you that. He gives you spiritual gifts to serve him, to help people. And by the way, I don't think you can do that stuff to the glory of God. My daddy was a nightclub drummer, and when he got saved, he realized, I can't use my members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. I can't help people do the wrong thing. I need to start help people do the right thing. Take everything that you have and point people to Jesus with it. But the devil comes after him and says, it is written. Oh, so you want to play that game, Jesus? Well, I'll quote a verse to you out of Psalms. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. He took Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Sources say this is on the southeast side of the city, on one of the highest points, some 450 feet high. And he says, Jesus, jump down. And the angels will swoop down and pick you up. And then when everybody sees that, of course, they're going to worship you as Lord and Savior. You say, the devil was quoting scripture to Jesus, and it sounds like a good thing. I mean, think about it. If he did that miracle, probably a lot of people will say, wow, that's amazing. Man, I'm going to follow that man. But you check out in Psalm 91 or 92 where he quoted that from, the devil left out about three or four words. And you know the whole significance of all of that? He wouldn't be depending on God the Father if he did something like that. He would be taking the prerogatives of deity and not using them for the Father's will, but for his own will. Listen, God didn't give you your abilities and your talents and all these different things for you to do your own thing and to try to test God in the wrong way. He gave you those things to encourage people and to do it in the way that he wants you to. Absolutely. Details need to be learned. When he tries to twist things around, pastors quoted it many times, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You better know what the Bible says. You better know some details. And that's how you defeat the devil. In verse number 10, he says, get thee hence, Satan. Get out of here. James chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know how you fight against the devil? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. The next verse, though, says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That doesn't mean you build up a lot of faith and then you resist him. The faith is the faith once delivered, the truth, the doctrine of the word of God. That's how you fight against the devil. That's how you stand against him. That's how you combat Satan. Last thing, number four. Teenagers, there's some choices that need to be settled in your life. Listen, the lifeline, what does it mean? It contains your survival. If you're ever going to make it, I don't care who you are, who your family is. Listen, you can be a pastor's son, deacon's son, leader's son, or daughter in this church. Doesn't mean you're going to make it unless you're holding on to the lifeline, the word of God. By the way, throughout the conference, we've been having guys saying, Jesus is the lifeline, the word of God is the life. Man, we have like a tug of war going. No, it all works together. Because if you get in the word of God, the main character, the main hero in the whole word of God is Jesus. Listen, you get deep down in the word of God, you can't help but love Jesus more. And as I said earlier, listen, you care about the Bible, that means you care about God. You're close to the Bible, you're close to God. You're not close to the Bible, you're not close to God, because it all works together. There's some choices that need to be settled. Listen, The lifeline, what does it mean? It contains your survival. It's your connection to the Savior. It helps you combat Satan. And number four and last, there's some choices that need to be settled. Listen, a lot of you, you hear the Bible preached every Sunday. But for many of you, these next choices that I'm going to talk about, you haven't made yet. That's why there's really no effect in your life. Number one, will you care about it? Will you care about it? Job said that he esteemed the words of his mouth, God's mouth, more than his necessary food. It was more important to Job to find out what God said and how God could help him than even eating his necessary food. That's not talking about snacks and extras and desserts. That's talking about the food he needed to survive. That's how important it was to him. Do you care? Do you care? When pastor gets up and preaches this week, are you just going to say, oh, conference is over, it's just pastor, it's just normal? No, it's the word of God. Do you care? Do you care? The Bible says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let me tell you something. For some of you, there are some parts of the Bible that are hard to understand, but for some of you, you know why you don't understand the Bible? You don't care. You don't care. If you would ask God to show you things, he would start showing you things. Listen, you know what you should do next time you come across a verse? Try this out. Next time you come across a verse and it's, you don't get it, stop right then and say, God, would you please show me what this means and help me to understand what it means and how it applies to my life. You do that. It might not be right then and there, but Jeff, I've had time and time again that maybe a few months go by and then somebody will preach the exact thing and I say, thank you, Jesus, you just answered my prayer. Amen. But for some of you, you don't care enough to even utter a 5-second prayer to say, God, what does it mean? And I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just telling you, you got to care. If you don't care, you're never going to be connected to the lifeline. As I mentioned earlier, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, by paying attention to it. Do you care? Number two, will you be committed to it? Not only do you care, but will you be committed to it? As I talked about with Job, it was more important to him than his necessary food. He was committed to it every day. As I quoted earlier from Psalm 1:1-3, your delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. That's when you start to get the good results in your life. Will you be committed to it? Hey, next week, are you going to read your Bible? When Kenny Baldwin's a distant memory, are you still going to be in the Word of God? Listen, when all the excitement's over, when all the decorations have been taken down and everything's back to normal and you're back to the humdrum life, are you still going to be connected to the Word of God? Let me just tell you now, if your devotion to the Lord stops when youth conference is over, you're done. You're done. You may make it 2 or 3 weeks, then you're going down. The devil is too strong for you and for me. And if you're not connected to this book, you will not make it. But I don't care who you are or where you come from. If you are connected to this book and not just reading it every day and going through the motions and checking it off the list, but I'm talking about living in it. And I'm talking about when you have a problem, you go to God and say, God, please show me something. And when you read the Word of God in the morning, why don't you think about it throughout the day and say, what did I read today? And how can that help me? And if you start to meditate it, man, you'll start to be prospering in your ways. And when somebody says something to you at your job that might before have gotten on your nerves, it might click something in the Word of God you read that morning. You think, wow, that's exactly what I faced today. God will prepare you. God will help you if you'll get in the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And lastly, will you change? Will you change? Will you care? These are choices that you need to settle. Not me, you. Will you care? Will you be committed? And will you change? You know, there's a story in the Bible of two men. One died and went to hell. The rich man. There's another man, Lazarus, a poor man. He went to heaven. The rich man that died and went to hell, very interesting, because we get to listen in on the flames of hell, Brother Tut. We get to tune in the speaker to exactly what's going on in hell. And there's screaming and there's crying and there's fire and there's darkness and there's falling and there's all these horrific things going on down there. But you know what the rich man asked for, first of all? He asked for, dip your finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. First of all, he wanted some relief. He wanted some water. He wanted some water. That's what he wanted. But you know, number two, what he wanted? He wanted a witness to go to his brethren, his five brethren at home. And get this. He's calling out to Father Abraham. He says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. Lazarus has already died and gone to heaven. He says, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and I don't want them to come into this place of torment. You realize people in hell don't want other people to go to hell? You realize that? I think if some of you realized that you would show up Thursday night, sorry, as Bubba and Jeff will say, I'll pick it up too. That was free. All right? That's right. People in hell don't want other people to come to hell because it's so terrible. He says, send Lazarus. If you would, get this, he's saying, if you would send somebody back from the dead and send him to my father's house, they would be amazed. They would be wowed. That's an amazing miracle. And then they would believe. You know what? Get this. You know what Father Abraham answers back to the rich man? He says they have Moses and the prophets. This is when Jesus was on earth. Moses had died. You say, what are you talking about? How do they have Moses and the prophets, but yet they had already died? It's talking about the Old Testament. Yeah. Moses would be the first five books. The prophets would be the rest of the Old Testament. He says they have Moses and the prophets. They didn't even have the New Testament yet. They didn't have the Romans Road. They didn't have the picture tracks, Pastor. They didn't have the, you know, postcard tracks, the little slick ones that you can flip out and they hang in the wall. You know, they didn't have all that. They had the Old Testament. He said, let your brothers read the Old Testament and they'll get it. Yeah. The rich man answers and said, no, that wouldn't work. But if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. Abraham answers him back, says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead and preached unto them. Let me tell you something, young people. If you won't change for the word of God, you won't change for nothing. We love you. We'll have activities. We'll have fun. We'll have awesome services and games and singing and all this stuff. But if you don't change, Miss Tripp, for this book, if these young people won't change for this book, there's nothing else that'll work. There's nothing else that'll work. And if you won't give up, listen, if you won't give up that sorry music because of that Savior that died on the cross for you and loved you more than anybody ever could, and if you won't give up the Word of God when He tells you, the Creator tells you from His inspired, inerrant, infallible, perfect book, to get rid of your music or to change your attitude or to honor your parents or to serve the Lord or to be faithful to Him. If you won't do it for that, nothing else will do it. And I'm saying tonight, there's some choices that need to be settled in your life. I know I preached long, a long service, long week, busy week. I understand all that. But will you care? Will you be committed? And will you change? Listen, it's serious. Will you change? We hope you will. You know what? We go through a lot of effort. We go through a lot of work this week. I'm tired, very tired. And I know a lot of people are that have worked hard this week, and I appreciate it. But do you realize they do all that, and you don't get the message tonight and this week? It's a waste for you. Our labor is not in vain. But as for your end of it, it's a waste. Won't you change? Not for me, not for Pastor Kenny. Not for Tut, not for Jeff, not for Pastor, but because of this book.
Amen.
Right. It's your lifeline.
That's right.
It's your lifeline. Listen, it contains your survival. It's your connection to the Savior. It helps you combat Satan. And there's choices in your life that you need to settle. Folks, tonight, the Word of God is your lifeline. Won't you buy into it? Won't you hold on to it? I hope you will. We love you. But that's the message that this week that God has laid on my heart to have this conference all about. We hope that you'll change for it. Let's bow our head, close our eyes, stand to our feet. No one looking around. Before we start the invitation, heads bowed and eyes closed. Please, everyone in the room, if you would. You say, Brother Tom, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die, but I would like to. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody. This could be the last chance you get ever in your whole life. If you won't get saved for the word of God, there's nothing else we can say to convince you or to persuade you. Anybody in the room? I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die, but I would like to. I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? All right. There's a Christian that God has shoved in your heart this week that you need to get connected to the lifeline, that you won't make it unless you get connected to the lifeline. You say, God has spoke to my heart and touched me about that. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Say, God has touched me about that. And I want to get more serious about living for Him, getting connected to the lifeline. I'm not going to make it if I don't get connected to it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Thank you. You may lower your hands. The pianist will begin to play. If God spoke to your heart, come do business with Him, please. Please. If you won't change for the word of God, nothing else will do it. Nothing else will do it. God, I can't. There's some choices that need to be settled tonight. Listen, if you're dried up, dead spiritually, deteriorating, why don't you come to this altar and say, God, breathe some life into me. God, quicken me. God, help me, stir me up. Listen, these teenagers shouldn't be more excited than our adults in the church.
Amen.
Amen. They're excited this week. But us as adults should be leading the way, showing them the path, saying, come, follow us. This is the way. Walk in it. Are you dead? Are you dry? Have you been deteriorating for months? And maybe no one knows about it but you and God. Why don't you come get some help? Get some life breathed into you. So that you can actually serve God and enjoy it. You can. You realize that? It doesn't have to be a burden. It doesn't always have to be a hardship. It can be a joy. It contains your survival. You're not going to make it unless you're connected. It's your connection to the Savior. How close are you to the Bible? That tells me how close you are to God. How are you going to combat Satan when he comes after you? By the way, when youth conference is over, the devil shows up. In fact, he doesn't even wait till youth conference is over. He's going to show up in any way he can to try to mess things up and undermine what the Lord's trying to do in your life. How do you fight against it? Through the Word of God. Get your mind right. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's some choices that have to be settled. If you don't care about the Word of God, it won't do you any good. If you're not committed to it, it won't do you any good. And if you won't change for the Bible, you won't change for anything. Pastor can preach his guts out. Jesus Christ could come down in the flesh and preach to you. If you won't change for the Word of God being preached to you, you wouldn't change even if he showed up visibly before you and preached to you. Oh God, do something in our hearts tonight. Get connected, young people. We're begging you. We beseech you. Connected, young people. You can make it. There is hope in Christ. You say, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know how hard it is for me. You can make it. There's a lifeline. And Jesus is throwing it out to you tonight, giving you the chance. If you're not saved, he's throwing out a lifeline to you tonight. If you're struggling, he's trying to help you. He cares for you.